Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, March 19th, 2012, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. With your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me.
I love you, and I don't care how old you are.
That's a good thing, because I am OLD. Hey, everybody. Happy vernal equinox. We are on the cusp of spring, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere, but the Emerald City is still locked in winter's chilly grip. Hey, who's in charge of this weather pattern anyway? Despite the cold temperatures and blowing rain, I have a bunch of very interesting questions from the sexually worrisome, which will dazzle and warm us until sunnier, warmer weather arrives.
I could defeat you if it came to a physical confrontation.
I know, because you're much younger than me. So, this week's special podcast is once again brought to you by DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Our sponsor today is me. You'll have to excuse this shameless self-promotion, but I wanted to call attention to the standing invitation for everyone in my audience to support and underwrite these marvelous shows. I am exceptionally proud of the quality programming I've been bringing you, my international audience. Over the last 5 years, I've presented a variety of extraordinarily informative, enriching, and entertaining shows. Interesting interviews, enlightening Q&A, and even some fun product reviews. I mean, where else can you find this sort of diverse sex-positive programming? And all of this always comes to you absolutely free.
Would you get in the spirit of things? It's a celebration.
I know, that's what I'm trying to say. So, okay, right about now you're probably asking yourself, hey, Dr. Dick, how can I help and support and underwrite this effort? Well, I'll tell you. Just mosey on over to either one of my sites, DrDickSexAdvice.com or DrDickSexToyReviews.com, and look for the Donate button. It's a blue heart-shaped icon. Click on it and make your contribution. Any amount will do. But for those folks who are donating $50 or more, they will receive a swell thank you gift. Excellent personal lube, smutty porn DVDs, or wonderful sex toys, or some delicious erotica. Be the first one on your block to join me in bringing the world this fun, informative, and enlightening programming. Now, before we turn our attention to my correspondence, I'd like to remind you of the toll-free, lickety-split, sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Got a question or comment? Want to rant or rave for a bit? Or maybe you just want to talk dirty for a minute or two? Why not get it off your chest and give me a call? Again, the number is 866-422-5680. No need to be shy, my friends, because this is voicemail. No human is going to answer your call, least of all me. And besides, calling the hotline will almost guarantee you a place in one of my podcasts. Okay, on with the show. We begin with our first correspondent, who identifies himself as Robert, who is 23, and he lives in South Korea. He writes, "Thanks for looking at my question and concern. My girlfriend is a really small Korean gal, and I am slightly larger than average white guy. My girlfriend and I have huge personal and emotional connection, but we have been having some bedroom problems. She has rotating levels of pain from intercourse, from pain just at the start to unbearable pain and having to stop. She claims she does not like sex because it hurts too much, but we are both really attracted to each other and can hardly stay away from each other. Can you recommend any positions or activities that would cause her less pain and still allow her to climax? I should add, she is really hesitant about me giving her oral sex, and she refuses to give it to me. I look forward to your answer. Well, you got yourself a boatload of problems there, Robert. Your girlfriend probably doesn't like sex because she's never had good sex. You say that she is hesitant about receiving oral sex and she refuses to blow you. Fucking is painful. But you don't go into much detail as to why that is, other than your size. Maybe you don't know, and maybe she doesn't know either. The only one way to really get to the bottom of this is to work with a qualified sex therapist. And I have some really good resources for you if you get back to me. In the meantime, this provides me with an opportunity to riff on one of my most favorite topics. I was recently interviewed for a local newspaper's Valentine's Day story, and one of the questions the woman reporter asked was, if you had one single thing that you could single out that could make for better sex between men and women, what would it be? I didn't hesitate for even a minute before responding with my single word answer, lube. The reporter looked startled. I guess she was expecting some sage wisdom about how women and men are different and how good sex between them is dependent on soul connections or some god-awful nonsense like that. And you know the kind of drivel one reads in women's magazines. Lube? She responded. Yep. That's the one thing that can and does make for better sex between women and men. It's that simple. To prove my point, I rifled through a number of recent correspondence that I had set aside to show the reporter. Allow me to introduce you to Elise, a young woman of 22 who lives in Tucson. She writes, "My boyfriend decided to get me some lube so that when we have sex I wouldn't get as sore as I do. And if we wanted to go for another round, he wouldn't have to worry about hurting me. He told me all the women he had been with before never had that dryness problem, so he never had to use lube before. He claims to have 80-plus sex partners before me. That really, really scares me because now I think there's something wrong with me. It's not that I'm not wet down there. I am. It's just that it dries up really fast. And even if I am still really horny and want to go for another round, I know it's going to hurt. I don't understand it. Is there something wrong with me?" Listen closely. There is nothing wrong with you. Really, you're fine. It's your boyfriend who's got the problem. He's full of shit. The dude is fucking with your head, and shame on him for shifting the blame to you for his inadequacy, ignorance, and inexperience, and being so misinformed about the fundamentals of female human sexuality. What a jerk. Kick this monkey to the curb, why don't you? Find yourself a man who really knows what he's doing, not some blowhard braggart who just looking to notch his belt with another conquest. I'm going to go way out on a limb here and guess that your boyfriend is about your age. I'd also wager my last dollar that he is bullshitting you big time about his sexual prowess. No guy in his early 20s has had anywhere near that many female sexual contacts. It just doesn't happen unless your boyfriend is a part-time porn star. I can say this with certainty, because if he were mature enough to have had wooed 80-plus women into sex, he absolutely would know the essentials, like lube, and how that is important for successful, mutually satisfying fucks. You'll be right to be suspicious of him. Any doofus who doesn't know about lube, or even where to get some, is a rank amateur, and he shouldn't be let anywhere near anyone's pussy until he wises up. And now, without further ado, here's the 411 on natural female lubrication and personal lubricants. And for the record, you can bank on this. First, in terms of natural female lubrication, no two women are exactly alike. There are also numerous variables that will affect the amount of natural lubrication a woman would produce at any given time in her life. These include age, overall health, diet, stress levels, use of birth control, hydration, estrogen levels, menopause, and environmental chemicals like the stuff in soaps and detergents, just to name a few. Some women produce loads of natural lubrication, others very little. And I might add that this is not unlike pre-cum production in men. Some guys drip like a leaky faucet. For others, pre-cum is virtually non-existent. You say you get wet down there. Okay, things seem to be working as they should. Are you producing enough natural lubrication for an effortless fuck? Probably not, particularly if your lovemaking lasts more than a wham-bam thank you ma'am. But here's the thing, even if you had the wettest pussy in town, you'd still want to have a stash of nice personal lube handy just in case or to supplement what your body is already producing, especially if there's going to be an encore. And don't ever leave this kind of intimate decision about what you will use in the recesses of your body to someone who doesn't even have a pussy. That's just dumb thinking. I mean, would you let a man pick out your feminine hygiene products for you? I think not. So, darling, be proactive. You're old enough to fuck, so you're sure as hell old enough to be familiar with the intimate workings of your body. If, at 22, you still have questions about natural female lubrication in general and your own capacity to produce natural lubrication in particular, then you've got some remedial boning up to do. Pun intended. Every sexually active woman and man should be well-versed in two very important things. First and foremost, you should know all about contraception, and you and your partner should be practicing at least two methods. Better safe than sorry. Second, you should know the fundamentals about lube and condoms, particularly if you are mixing the two. Some lubes work great with condoms, some lubes don't, and you need to know the difference. Don't expect your male lovers to be more knowledgeable or prepared than you are. Remember that men, as wonderful as we are, can scarcely think beyond the stiffness of our own dick. To the question of personal lubes, there are dozens and dozens to choose from. There are water-based, silicon-based, water and silicon-based hybrids, oil-based, sugar-free, flavored, warming, arousing, desensitizing lubes, just to name a few. Don't know the difference? Well, darling, you have your work cut out for you. I hasten to add, this doesn't need to be a chore. The all-powerful internets are right there at your fingertips. Search for the personal lubricant and marvel at the wealth of free information that is available. Just about every online retailer will have loads of information about the different kinds of lubes they sell. Here's an overview. Silicon lube is not safe for use with silicon toys. There are numerous kinds of water-based lubes, and they come in several formulas, including liquid, gel, and body glide. If a lube contains additives that warm, tingle, cool, desensitize, or whatnot, these additives may be trouble for sensitive skin. And if it contains glycerin or parabens, like many of the flavored lubes, it's not recommended for internal use. Think yeast infection. Here's another tip. Before spending your hard-earned money on a bottle of one kind of lube or another, why not try a sampler pack? Several online retailers offer numerous variety packs for you to choose from. Why not have a lube party where you and your gal pals or you and your boyfriend sample all the lubes that come in the assortment? This way, you will not only be educating yourself, but your friends and or lovers will be learning right along with you. Good luck. Next, we hear from Ivy. I don't know anything more but her name. I don't know where she writes from or her age. Here's what she has to say. I'm not sure exactly how this works, so I guess I'll just get to the point. I was molested when I was 12 years old by a stranger. I never tried to press charges or anything because I didn't think I could handle seeing him again. And then the statute of limitations passed. Now it's been nearly 10 years, and I'm in a healthy relationship for the most part. The problem is, I can't escape the damage done by that experience. Up until about 2 years ago, I'd never been able to have an orgasm with a male in the room, even if he was far away as possible, with his back turned, paying no attention to me while I used my favorite, most successful toy on myself. I felt ashamed, and I still do, like there's something wrong with me. I guess, in a way, there is. Otherwise, I wouldn't be asking for help. Anyway, I finally mustered the courage to talk to my long-term partner about it. This was about 2.5 years ago, and he's been working with me ever since. It's been frustrating, but we are slowly making progress. The thing is, we're in a rut. I can now reach orgasm with him next to me, touching me, and even digitally penetrating me. But no matter how hard we try, I can't have an orgasm if his penis is inside of me. Even if I'm right on the brink of climax, as soon as he pushes his penis into me, I completely lose that arousal. Even with my most successful vibrator on my clit during penis and vagina intercourse, I can't even get close. It's just incredibly frustrating, and it seems to be taking its toll on our relationship. He feels that he's not good enough as a lover, and I feel like I'm letting him down when I can't come, despite his efforts and his patience. At this point, I am desperately hoping there's something I can do to get past this and out of this rut. Well, that's it. My mental scars from the past experience are causing me problems with my current relationship, and I want nothing more than to get what that cretin did out of my head so that I can move on with my life. Please, any suggestions, advice would be greatly appreciated. Hey, Ivy. Thanks for your message and sharing your story with me. I have great sympathy for you and for what you're experiencing, because I was sexually abused when I was 14. The problems you recount are familiar. I've worked with numerous survivors of sexual trauma over the years. My first suggestion to you is that you begin work with a qualified sex therapist as soon as possible. You'll need to find someone who understands the sexual trauma dynamic. I can offer you some resources if you'd like. I can also do remote therapy and counseling for people who are unable to see me in my office here in Seattle. For more information about that, see the Therapy Available tab in the header of my site, drdicksexadvice.com. I also want to direct your attention to a posting that I made not too long ago that deals precisely with this issue. The posting is titled, Healing Sexual Trauma Through Sensate Focus. With a little luck, you'll see that with help, you'll be able to move beyond your current stalemate and get on with the rest of your life. Let me know if I can be of any further assistance. For those of you who can't get to my site, here's the text of the Healing Sexual Trauma Through Sensate Focus posting. One of the most difficult things for me to deal with as a therapist is the aftermath of sexual trauma, and I know that the trouble I have with this is only a tiny fraction of the difficulty my client has as he or she faces his or her past. I share with you a correspondence I've had with a 36-year-old man from Boston named Trent. He writes, Dear Dr. Dick, when I was 10 years old, my parish priest molested me. That went on for over a year. Mostly, I've been able to put this behind me. I've been married over a year to this really wonderful gal. She's been very understanding and supportive, and we love each other very much. A couple of weeks ago, when we were having sex, my wife started to massage my bottom. This was the first time someone has touched me there since I was 10. At first, it felt good, but then I remembered how it felt when I was a kid and freaked out. I started to cry. My poor wife was devastated, at the thought of triggering this painful memory. I told her it wasn't her fault, but we haven't had sex since. I'm worried, but I don't know what to do. Working through a sexual trauma like the one Trent experienced as a kid is difficult, but it is essential for regaining a healthy sense of one's sexual self. I told Trent, and this applies to anyone else who has had the regrettable early sexual experience in their past, that I strongly suggested that he and his wife engage a sex-positive therapist to help them back on track. Many people have dealt with some kind of sexually related trauma in their lives. However, some people's emotional scars are more severe than others. Emotional scar tissue and painful memories may linger, but you can learn to insulate yourself from the disruptive efforts of the past in the present. Thanks to the indomitable human spirit, most of us live through our difficulties and go on to develop healthy, integrated sex lives. Sensate focus is a process that helps individuals move through painful sexual memories and heal the rift between the affected parts of the body and pleasure they can produce. I thought this technique would be of particular value for Trent because of something he said. At first it felt good, but then I remembered how it felt when I was a kid and freaked out. This tells me that he was able to enjoy the sensations before the association with the molestation kicked in and ruined everything. Sensate focus, however, offers a way to short-circuit this disruptive connection and rewrite it for the pleasure instead of pain. What follows are instructional therapeutic touching exercises for couples. They are not a prelude to sex. You need to be clear on that. Your genitals will be involved. There will be pleasure and arousal for sure. But the object of this process is to desensitize the trigger, in Trent's case, his butt, then resensitize it for pleasure. These exercises take about an hour, one day a week, over the course of a month. If you embark on this course, make sure that you dedicate that kind of time and commitment. Please don't shortchange yourself. This is an investment in your sexual health and well-being. Now, you and your partner will take turns being the one touched and the one doing the touching. Both of you will have 30 minutes to touch and 30 minutes to be touched, 15 minutes lying on your front, 15 minutes lying on your back. Week 1, breaking the ice. Structured touching will be unfamiliar to you at first, so I want you to use this first session to connect with each other in a sensual and playful way. I want each of you to explore every inch of your partner's body from head to toe. First the back of the body, then the front. This first week, however, avoid one another's genitals. Now, this isn't massage, where touch is directed toward pleasuring your partner. Sensate focus exercises are about gleaning information. Focus on how it feels to touch different parts of your partner's body in a non-seductive way. Be aware of the different textures, contours, and temperatures. Use different pressures, heavy and light, different strokes, long and short. Use fingertips, palms, and the back of your hands and forearms. When you're finished the first 30 minutes, swap places. This will work best if the one being touched relinquishes control as much as possible. Keep verbal communication at a minimum. Once the hour is over, thank one another for the experience and get on with the rest of your day. Don't try to process things right then and there. Just sit with the sensations, or better still, write your feelings in a journal that you might want to share later. Week 2, making things more interesting. Building on what you learned in the first week, this time kick it up a notch by expanding the structured touching to include anal and genital areas. These are sexually charged zones, but the touch must remain non-seductive. Begin the exercise with some full body touching before moving on to these new areas. Again, the emphasis is on obtaining information and awareness of physical sensations. This is where things get a bit challenging for Trent. When his wife touched his butt, I told him I wanted him to stay in the moment and focus on who was touching him and why. Trent's wife was not touching him in a sexual matter. She was gathering information. Staying in the present helps you take the edge off. If anxiety builds, deep breathing can help you relax. Your partner will probably be very nervous too, so breathing together can be helpful. A guided touch technique can also be useful. Place one of your hands on top of your partner's and guide it over the triggered area. Try using more or less pressure as you see fit. Remember, your trigger spot is just like every other part of your body. Even though an early trauma has sensitized this area to be off bounds, sensate focus exercises will resensitize and reintegrate it into the rest of your body. You'll have to trust me on this. Week 3, mutual touching. This week, we move on to mutual touching. However, it must remain structured and non-seductive, both in the giving and the receiving. Mutual touch will provide a more natural form of physical interaction than in previous weeks. You'll also be shifting attention from how it feels to touch to being aware of how your partner is receiving your touch. Keep verbal communications at a minimum. Let your body tell your partner how you are enjoying the touch. If you must talk, assign a number code to the touch you are receiving. 5 for being ho-hum, 1 for yowza. Remember, no matter how sexually aroused you become, this is not a prelude to sex. If you need to release your sexual tensions, feel free to masturbate afterward. No partnered sex during the exercises, okay? Week 4, bringing it home. This last week of exercises continues the mutual touching, with the focus on overcoming any final reservations you have about your trigger zone and the pleasure you derive from it. More of your partner's touch should focus on that area. For Trent, I advise that his wife include a nice lotion or personal lube for this investigation. Touching with a wet hand is different from touching with a dry hand. While concentrating on his butt with one hand, I suggested she fondle his genitals with the other. By playing with the energy around Trent's sphincter, his wife was able to redirect it and help him reconnect his ass to the rest of his body. Try receiving your wife's touch in a different position. Being proactive will facilitate the healing. While she is touching your trigger area, move your butt toward her to meet her caress. You'll immediately see how being in control will help you move beyond any remaining anxiety. You are not just being a passive recipient anymore. You are actively involved with inviting the pleasure. If there are still reservations, take it slow until they too melt away. Once he's freed up his ass for pleasure, I told Trent to be sure to incorporate butt play into his future lovemaking repertoire. But I also reminded him to take as much time as he needed to resolve the issue. There is no quick fix. I assured him, though, with diligence and care, sensate focus would remove the fear and shame of the molestation and replace it with a sense of wholeness, joy, and pleasure. Next, we hear from Liam. He is 20. I don't know where he writes from, but I'm going to guess Ireland. He writes, "I get satisfied within a little time when I fuck somebody." All right. If I understand you correctly, Liam, you want to know how to last longer in partnered sex. Is that right? Well, you're in luck. I've written and spoken about this very topic dozens of times on my site. So use the search function in the header of drdicksexadvice.com, type in lasting longer, and presto. This is the kind of thing you will find. Anyone the least bit familiar with Dr. Dick's wacky household will know all about Ginger. For the uninitiated, Ginger is a 5-year-old German Shorthair pointer who believes she is the center of the universe and who daily runs the good doctor into the ground. Ginger is special. She's no one's pet, least of all mine. She doesn't even think of herself as a dog, except when she forgets herself and takes off after a squirrel or a rabbit. And she makes a point of reminding me several times a day that she doesn't belong to me. Rather, it is I who have the great privilege to share a domicile with her. I tell you all of this by way of introducing today's topic. No, it's not bestiality, for Christ's sake. It's behavior modification and sexual response. You know, learning how to last longer. Here we'll discuss the remedy for that pesky premature ejaculation problem everyone is talking about. Ginger was 1.5 years old when she moved in and took over the joint. She had been abandoned and was, for all intents and purposes, completely feral when she got here. Once here, Dr. Dick tried to imprint a more civilized pattern of behavior on his new housemate using several tried-and-true dog training methods, which for all intents and purposes are simply behavior modification techniques for doggies. Successful behavior modification is dependent on consistency of the stimulus. Consistent stimuli, a command and a treat, are supposed to create the desired response, sitting and staying. Sadly, this approach wasn't overly successful for Ginger and me. In fact, about the only one who got trained or modified was Dr. Dick. Ginger remained blissfully resistant to all efforts to civilize her. The following correspondence, we hope, will succeed in modifying their sexual response with greater ease than my attempt to train old Ginger. What differentiates them from the dog is that each of my correspondents has the motivation to change. Ginger, on the other hand, has no such motivation. She thinks she's perfect just the way she is. Hey, Doc, I have a major problem. What I hope I could use some advice from you. It's about my sexual issue. Whenever I'm having sex, I can't control my nerves. It means I can't relax, and I come too fast and rapidly. I can't have foreplay or enjoy sex. Do you know any of medications or anything that would help me prevent this? I guess my problem is what people call premature ejaculation. I can ejaculate rapidly. At first, I thought it was really good, but later I figured out that it wasn't so good, and that it's a sickness. Please help me. Hope to hear from you soon. Thanks, Dylan. Hey, Dylan. Your premature ejaculation concern is not a sickness. In fact, it's a very common complaint. Learning to last longer is a relatively easy thing to accomplish if that's really what you want to do. Motivation is key. Start with how you jack off. If I had to guess, these little sessions are speedy affairs, right? Quick jack-off sessions just to relieve sexual tension can be a good thing, but they are also modifying your sexual response and interfering with your partner's pleasure. If your body is being sensitized to coming quickly, like while jerking off, then that's how it will respond later when you're at play with a partner. I suggest that you take a different approach to your self-pleasuring activity. Some, if not all, of your masturbation should be dedicated to full-body masturbation. That is, while you are diddling yourself with one hand, your other hand is busy exploring the rest of your body. The object is to play with the sexual tension and move it around. Some people call this edge play or edging. The object here is to avoid an ejaculation. Move the sexual energy all over your body. Touch and pleasure your whole body while stroking your cock. A nice massage lotion will add to the enjoyment. Make this time last as long as you can. As you approach the point of ejaculation, stop stroking your dick and continue to play with another part of your body, your tits, your asshole, prostate, feet, etc. When the urge to come subsides, you can start to stroke your dick again. Practice this method over and over until you can last 30 minutes. Successful behavior modification is dependent on the consistency of the stimulus. Consistent stimuli, full body masturbation, will create the desired response lasting longer. You will no doubt increase your stamina while you're with a partner. When you're having sex with a partner, do the same thing when you are masturbating. Encourage your partner to spread the sexual energy around. Discourage him or her from concentrating on your dick. Work at stalling your orgasm. If you're getting close to coming, have him or her turn his attention to another pleasurable activity. Don't get frustrated if you can't regain control over your sexual response right away. This is going to take some practice, but I think it's worth the effort. Once you've mastered this technique, there are other more advanced methods that I can tell you about later. Good luck. And finally, we hear from Dave, who is 27, and he writes from Arizona. I've always had a thing for my dad. He's very good looking, and I used to hear my mom and dad have sex all the time. I jack off thinking about them all the time. I have even picked up a few pairs of his underwear and wear them and jack off in them. Is this normal? I'm not sure I know what you mean by normal. Are you asking if other people fantasize about either or both of their parents? Yes, that is pretty common. There is a whole genre of erotica that focuses on incest. It's such a powerful aphrodisiac simply because it's also very, very taboo. So now that you can see why I asked you what you meant by normal, I'm pretty certain that there isn't a normal when it comes to fantasy. And I guess that's the beautiful part of fantasy. It doesn't have to be normal to be enjoyable. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next Wednesday for a super-duper podcast interview with sexologist and surrogate partner Cheryl Cohen Green. She'll be here as part of the Sex Wisdom series, don't you know? Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Sex Advice and Dr. Dick's Sex Toy Reviews.
Don't worry, Dad. Nothing gay going on here.
That's sure enough true. Simply put, I need your help to continue to provide shows like the one we just heard. But you may be asking yourself, hey, why should I make a donation? Well, I'll tell you. Infrastructure and administrative costs for a free site like this are astronomical. So if you like what you see and hear, if you enjoy all the wonderful features of DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com, then I invite you to make a modest one-time donation online. We suggest a donation of between $20 and $50, but any amount will be gladly accepted. This is a one-time donation. There are no automatic credit card renewals or processing fees. And you can be certain that every dime you donate will go to support this valuable sex-positive effort.
If Cam comes out here with boobs, I'm leaving.
Finally, your donation underscores your social conscience. Your sponsorship helps disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages throughout the entire world. I thank you in advance for your generosity. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.